Work moves fast. From emails and reports to proposals and updates, you're expected to think clearly, write confidently, and get it right the first time. And every message counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It gives you everything you need to think, write, and finish in one place, or anywhere you type and text. You'll never have to switch tools or tabs. Grammarly's AI agents are built for how you work and where you work, so you can find the right words, adjust your tone, and predict how your message might land before you hit send. Your ideas will get a boost while still sounding natural, credible, and just the way you want. For nearly 17 years, Grammarly has been the standard for responsible AI. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Charles Caron and Eric Paquette. So how does that work for you with your understanding of this? If there are demons, would there be something that would be the opposite, a positive thing, like an angel or something like that, that's on the other side that does positive? Or is it a world where we're existing amongst dark things, dark energy, and the good kind of being just more neutral? But is there something above that that is positive, or is kind of the just not being an asshole? Is that the good that we have out there?
Well, there has to be a good. Angels, demons, Satan, it's all written that all this exists. Mm-hmm. The only way to put this in perspective is to have a positive mind.
Yep.
If you're a believer that there are angels, guardian angels, then you're a believer of Satan. If you're a believer of demons or whatever, you as a person, as a whole person, as yourself, if you have a mind and a drive to set out to do the things that we do as paranormal investigators, UFOs, aliens, all that stuff, zoology, Bigfoot. Me, I'm not a fan of Bigfoot, but I don't knock those down who do it. But in reality terms, if there's an angel, then there's a devil. If there's a ghost, there's a demon. If there's a haunt, there's a poltergeist.
Sure.
Me, as an atheist, I have to put all that in perspective, and that's why I do the things I do. I set myself out to try to believe that these things are real.
Sure.
And like I've said before, I've caught a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things. But to prove those things in today's modern world, because we have all the technology to fake things, we have all the technology to make noises and haunting sounds, that's where reality comes into not reality, because you can make these things look real when they're not real. And when the people who have the real stuff, the hard evidence, the proof, it makes it harder for us to prove that this actually exists in real life. And that's where everything comes into play. That's where you as a person, as a whole, have to sit there and decide for yourself, should I continue doing this? Should I make a fool of myself? Or should I just suck it up and move on to the next? And that's my harsh. That's how I see things.
Very interesting. Tell me about that experience you had referenced earlier about something that you went through that you came out of going, what the hell was that?
Me and Charles went to Virginia. We went to the Cabin 360.
Now, what is the Cabin 360?
Cabin 360, I believe, had to do with the Revolutionary War. And I guess a lot of deaths, a lot of stuff happened on this property. And we were told some stories. It had to do a lot with what was going on with the Revolutionary War. We had set out to go do an investigation here because we had told that it's a very haunted place, a lot of demonic activity. And I am that guy of, hey, let's go do this. I'm going to go disprove this.
Sure.
So we end up setting up all that night. And before that had happened, Chuck had experienced some things, which I can let Chuck tell his story because that's for him to tell.
Okay.
Things had been happening that night. And the team, we always get along. The team just started getting at each other's throats. So whatever was going on here was affecting us. Because me and Chuck never argue. Me and Chuck never fight. And me and Chuck were just at each other's throats that night. And then I ended up getting mad. So I left to go cool off on the porch. We were getting ready to shut down for the night. Pack up, go home. The last thing I know is I walked out to go take a breath on the porch so that we can get through our what we were trying to do here as a team. Well, apparently when the team was packing things up in our truck, I was nowhere to be found. According to them, I was gone for 15 minutes. Nowhere to be found. And at that time, I was standing in the middle of a cornfield. And there's a cornfield off to the side of the cabin. And I could see these guys, four of them, in brown cloaks. Couldn't see their faces. And they were carrying torches, walking toward me, telling me it was my time to come with them.
Oh, my God.
And I kept moving away from it, trying to get away. And then all of a sudden, I hear Chuck's voice. I hear my wife's voice. I hear the rest of the team's voice. They said I was behind a tree with my hood up at a kneeling point position facing the tree in shock. Didn't know where I was, but that whole time that I came back after we were done, everything was in the truck, that whole time that I had seen that, as I'm leaving, we pull into a gas station, and I was so much in rage. I was trying to pick fights with everybody, and I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, someone would say something, I'd tell them to shut up, or we're going to go right now, and then Chuck grabbed me and says, dude, you need to calm down. And I told Chuck, you grab me again, I'm going to knock you out. And that's where, when I said that 5 minutes later, I didn't know. I was like in hysterics. And I sat down in the chair, took a drink of water. And I looked over at Chuck, and Chuck had tears in his eyes. And I looked at him, dude, what's the matter? And why are we at a gas station? And he's like, you just serious right now? I'm like, dude, why are we here? I went out on the porch, and the next thing I know, I'm sitting in the front seat of my own truck. He goes, you disappeared. We couldn't find you. And you were crawled up in a ball with your hood up against a tree, shaking. Like you seen death. And that's when I told him. And that's the only thing I could ever remember. You know, I've never gone out ghost hunting. I've never gone out to go investigate a property and have something happen like this to me. Like I was in a total different place. It felt like it was reality. I could taste, I could smell the air, I could smell the smoke. And it was just like something I've never experienced before besides seeing my father as a ghost. And everyone's like, that's it? I'm like, that's it. That's all I know. And then I came, and then Chuck is over here, got tears in his eyes, looking at me like something's extremely wrong with me. Like I went nuts. And I just snapped right out of it. Like they told me after they found me, all I was doing was yelling. All I wanted to do was hit people or told people to leave me alone. I want to be left alone. Go away. And then I wake up in my front seat of my truck, drinking water, asking them, how the hell did I get here? And I don't know where I was for that whole 15, 20 minutes.
That's scary. That's scary. I mean, and then to look back and know that happened to you. There's so many things that would go through your mind. Like, what if I did something horrible? What if I hurt myself or hurt someone else? But you would have no recollection of it because you were almost in a state of something else running you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. It is very, very weird. And I still remember it today. And when I talk about it, I get the chills. But when I tell that story and people are like that, yeah, okay, whatever. You're just doing this to impress us. And and I could see it in the people's faces when I tell them this, but I continue to tell the story. I don't give up. And then I'll tell everybody, thank you for listening. And I walk away, still got that chip on my shoulder. Don't care what they think. I experienced it. They didn't, but they asked to hear it. And then when I tell them, you could see the looks, the expressions, just the posture of everybody when you tell this story. It just totally changes the atmosphere. Like, this guy's a joke, you know, and I don't care. I enjoy it. I know I'm telling the truth. I know what I saw. Regardless, they believe it or not, that's their opinion. But that's what really put me on my toes in the paranormal field. I've been to a lot of places. I've seen things. I've been touched, scratched, had my hair pulled. I've been shoved or bumped in the night, but nothing like the two things that I've experienced my whole life.
I want to go back and ask a question about that, but I want to hear Eric's experience as well. This was called Cabin 301. Is that correct?
Cabin 360.
360. Okay.
Chuck was.
Chuck, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Cabin 360.
Cabin 360. All right, Chuck, what happened with your experience there?
First and foremost, what happened there that night to this day still shakes me up a lot. I had looked up some spots to investigate, and I found the Cabin 360. I called them up and asked them if we could go down and investigate. They said, sure. I booked it for two nights. I told Eric about it. We took the 9-hour drive to Virginia. We got there. The caretaker actually met us outside. And, you know, we were talking to him, and he says, we're going to take you around some of the hot spots. And immediately when we went down into the basement, I didn't feel right. The air felt thick down there. And all of a sudden, I felt a burning sensation on my side. I had told Eric about it. And I was kind of startled to begin with. And I said, I'm going to go up by the truck. I don't even want to. You finish. Do whatever you got to do. I'm gonna go upstairs.
Yeah.
I sat out by the truck, and that's when I got my first glimpse. I still can't even explain it. And it was quick. By the time I could try to take a picture of it, it was gone. Which I'll get into a detail in a little bit. So we go into the main house. We set up all our equipment upstairs. Now, mind you, me and Eric were downstairs talking, and the device, I'm sorry, Tony, it's really hard for me to talk about this because it still shakes me today.
Sure.
All the devices we had upstairs were going off, the REM pod, the Mel meter. I had an interactive bear that was going off. And I had made the comment, you know, if you want one of us to come up there, you know, should give us a sign, show us something. And our devices started going off again, and I honored it. Now, I'm Eric's wife. I'm one that won't hesitate. Like, I'm a go-getter. I will, you can put me in the deepest, darkest spots and go for it. But what I experienced upstairs, I can't even tell you. All I know is I'm upstairs and I'm trying to talk to this thing or whatever it was up there, and I see a black shadow figure at the end of the hall. And then all of a sudden I hear like a scratching noise. And I made a cardinal mistake, Tony. I said, you know what? I'm tired of your games. Show yourself. And there it was. About 6.5-7 feet tall, the darkest eyes, the blackest eyes. The best way I can describe it is it looked like half goat, half man, like a demon. I don't know. I can't explain it, Tony. I don't even think I hit the flight of stairs. I was out of that building and gone. And I'm stuttering my words to Eric, and I'm like, pack our stuff. I'm gone. I don't want to go back in that house. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I don't know what I saw. I'm done. And he's like, dude, I ain't like you. I said, I don't care. I'm out. I'm done. I can't do it no more. I'm done. What I saw up there, Tony, I can't. It's probably the closest to hell I think I ever want to be. I can't explain it. And to just talking about it now wants to put me in tears.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice.
This thing was like, who are you? What are you doing? And I get, boom. I'm gone.
Yeah.
See you later. I'm done. We went back up. Eric said, let's just go back up there. And I went up with Eric. Well, I don't even think we got about 20 minutes in. I had to go back downstairs. I didn't want to be up there. Everybody started fighting. Our camera guy was we go to get our camera, you know, tell everybody pack up stuff. Our camera guy's in the basement, wouldn't want to come out. Our camera, like I said, Tony, I can't even explain it. How do I describe to my best friend of 30 years what I saw?
Yeah.
I tell the owner of the house what I saw. My story has never changed. And I can't even describe it. I don't know. I can't. What I saw that night, I can't tell you. I can't even wrap my head around what I saw. I can't.
It sounds like, I mean, both of you had very dark experiences there. Is there a history to this location that we're aware of that lends itself to understanding why something so dark would be there?
Apparently, from what I was told from the caretaker and the owner, what I saw that night has been seen before. And that's why, you know, we did go on the talk show for the owner, and I explained everything I saw to a T. I did not hesitate.
Yeah.
Same as I'm telling you. Like I said, you know, the place was phenomenal. Like it was an interesting place. Dark history to it. But I knew in 45 minutes, we weren't welcome there.
Yeah.
It took eight of us into, like, I've never been afraid of my brother. I know for a fact he never put his hands on me. But that night, you know, I'm like, dude, let's go. You know, what are you doing? And he's like, shut up, fatty, or I'll punch you in the face. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is our time to go, you know. And the caretaker's like, oh, well, if you want, you know, you can stay. And I said, no, I really can't. I got to go home. You know, I'm sorry. I love your place. Maybe, you know, when I catch my breath and, you know, I'll come back. And we have actually been welcome to come back there, to be honest with you. The caretaker and the owner have both said that we can come back. You know, I know there's probably going to be skeptics going to say, oh yeah, you didn't see that. And that's okay. I'm definitely okay with that because I know what I saw that night. I can't, like I said, I can't explain it. I can tell you, you know, what I saw to the best of my knowledge, but I still can't explain it. But that night, from what I saw, changed my outlook. You know, I mean, I'm still that go-getter, still want to help people, but I was not expecting what we walked into. It definitely opened my eyes to that. And at the end of the day, you know, I know what I saw, and I'll stick to that till the day I die. And, you know,
here's an interesting question kind of for both of you, because you both went through, you know, traumatic moments at that location. Your own traumatic moments separately, but nonetheless, very, very traumatic. This is kind of just an opinion question, but we see so many horrific things in the news, and not necessarily like big, here's a celebrity that did something bad, but I'm speaking just more shit that you see every day of, you know, parents doing horrible things to their children, teachers doing horrible, just all sorts of, it seems like it's a never ending flow of evil behavior. Knowing that you guys both came so close to something very, very dark, and the way that it can affect you, to the point of very much how Eric was sharing that he, you know, kind of lost memory or knew what he was doing for several minutes, and you came so close to something so dark that affected you like that. Do you believe that some of these horrible things that we are seeing in society today have to do with something taking over people, allowing them to do the otherwise unthinkable things that we see so frequently?
I don't know, Tony. You know, the thing I can do is, you know, everybody is different. You know, yes, did I go through a traumatic experience? Of course I did. Did I see what I saw? Of course I did. But as a person, you know, I honestly don't know how to answer that, to be truthful with you.
Yeah.
I think the mind can only absorb so much.
Absolutely.
And it clouds your memory. You don't know what to think of what it is. Now, the world, you know, stuff like this has been going on for many, many thousands of years between war, corruption,
yeah.
You know, and like people will say, times are coming. The end of the world is supposed to be coming. Supposedly, God's supposed to set foot back on the earth and wipe everything clean. Or the four horsemen have been set out to set their journey, disease, war, you know, possession or whatever it is they think is going to happen. And again, that's where my skepticism is. Is this really going to happen? Or is man just going to annihilate itself? Or is Mother Nature going to take us out like she did the dinosaurs? Mm-hmm. No one knows. I mean, my impulse on it today. I mean, I grew up through the 70s and the 80s, and here I am now, almost a 50-year-old man. And I've been seeing things as I've grown up. Technology today is so far advanced that it does it for us. And when you see all these things on your phone or TV or, you know, these YouTube videos or TikTok, or and you see all these things that are going on in the world, absorbing all that media, all that coming in all at once, and your brain can only handle so much. My opinion, the brain is the most haunted thing in life. It's the most terrifying thing. Your brain takes photos of everything you do every day, all day long. So when you're dreaming at night or you're sitting down daydreaming, all of a sudden, boom, you're thinking you're seeing something when your brain is showing you something that you've already seen. I'm not saying I'm 100% correct about that stuff, but I've done enough reading and seen enough things about how our human brain processes things. And it acts as well for the paranormal. The stuff do we see, is it really paranormal? Is this really going on? Is our brains now being programmed by all this media and all this stuff and sending out subliminal messages and just making people freak out and telling them to go do this? Someone go murdering kids or like you said, kids, parents killing their kids, teachers being rude to kids. Or your friend can turn on you because you said something he didn't like and kill you. That's our society. I've noticed that in the last 20 years. Our society has changed so much that just to do something, you get credited for it. But in a way, it's bad. And tell me if that sounds stupid, but your friend says, oh, you go do this, go kill this guy and bury him, we'll give you credit for it, but yet you're still going to pay the price for murdering someone that didn't need to be murdered.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion, you know. That's Society is moving so fast today, us as human beings don't know how to stop. We just keep going, and then eventually we snap, we tweak out, or we go nuts.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Charles and Eric. A big thank you to them for joining us and sharing their experiences with us on today's program. And thank you to you for supporting our show and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without it. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.